In the name of the one true living God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Do any of you remember making your Christmas list as children and getting your hopes up about a certain toy, a doll or a game? I know I wished with all my might that Santa would leave that special something on my list underneath the tree. Christmas morning would come and gifts were opened, and I most often got the special gift I asked for. Although there were times I would look at my gift, the one that I asked for, and think, on the commercial it looked bigger. Of course, I was grateful even though the gift wasn't quite what I expected. Now, young ones, when Santa leaves something under your tree, make sure you say thank you. It goes a long way. All of us have our expectations with one thing or another. We not only expect wishes to be granted, but we have other expectations as well. We expect parents to take care of their children and for children to be respectful. We expect drivers to stop at the stoplight and pedestrians to look both ways before stepping off the curb. We expect lights to come on with the flick of the switch. We expect our leaders, be they elected, our clergy, anybody who leads, to lead well. Yes, our days are full of expectations. Some are profound. Some are what keeps chaos at bay. Some are dreams and visions of what we want and hope for. Many expectations shape our images and attitudes and beliefs and relationships. Sometimes expectations shape our vision of who God is and how God should act and who God should love. John the Baptizer had his own expectations. As he cried out along the banks of the Jordan River, he expected people from far and near to heed his word. He expected a new kingdom to dawn and a new person to reign. He expected fire and axes and judgment too. He expected one more powerful than himself. Like us, John expected a lot. So John asked, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" We can imagine this question ran through John's mind over and over again as he awaited his fate within prison walls. You see, John and the Hebrew people had waited for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And John had spent his life paving the road and preparing the way. That is, until Herod had him arrested. The prophet spoke about repentance and words of warning and judgment to the masses, and no one was exempt, not even King Herod. John had criticized Herod for sleeping with his brother's wife. Herodias, Philip's wife, wanted John dead. But Herod was afraid of John and had John imprisoned instead. As time moved on, as day after day came and went, the expectations that John had were just as confining and serious as the physical bars that were holding him prisoner. You see, he has had time to think, and he has had time to question. He had heard all about what the Messiah was doing. Jesus had already begun his ministry. He has preached and taught, healed the sick and calmed storms. He has hung out with tax collectors and sinners. While John spoke of God's vengeance and fire raining down, Jesus had clearly taken a different path. He was a different Messiah than John expected. For Jesus did not come swinging an axe or a winnowing fork. Jesus was not sitting in judgment. So John's mind is going and it's going. Had he lived his life in vain? Had he been wrong? Was Jesus really the one that people had hoped for? Was there someone else they should wait for who could actually fill the bill? Matthew tells us that John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And as we heard read in the gospel, Jesus sent this word back: "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." These were Isaiah's words coming true, as well as Jesus. Not the part that prophets like John had been focused on, about God coming with vengeance and terrible recompense, but the other part. The other part about the eyes of the blind being open and the ears of the deaf being unstopped, the lame leaping like deer and the tongues of the speechless singing for joy. Jesus lets John know that he is the one who brings in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is where everything that is broken is made whole and set free. All throughout the season of Advent, the message to us has been to prepare, to be watchful, stay awake, get ready. He's coming. The kingdom is here. Today's gospel reading gives us pause to think about our own expectations and the images of the one who is coming. What have we carried throughout our lives? And how bound are we by those expectations? What or who are we looking for? That is not only John's question, but ours too. And how open are we to Jesus telling us that he is something radically different than we expect? And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at him, meaning blessed are those who accept Jesus for who he is. We sometimes imprison ourselves with our views of God, the kingdom, the world. And with those things, the lens of our very lives is also too small. There is so much greater than you and me. You see, we try to confine God's work to our liking and our expectations. But guess what, church? We cannot limit God.
All right.
Jesus didn't answer John's question, "Are you the one?" with a yes or a no. Instead, he told John's disciples to go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. Someone wrote, "The proof of a Savior is not in the words of the Savior, but in the fruits of the Savior. His actions spoke loud and clear." Amen.
Amen.
We see that throughout the Gospels. In our baptismal covenant, we vow to follow Jesus Christ as our Savior, to put our whole trust in his grace and love. Think about that for a minute. We vow to put our whole trust in him. And after we pledge to do that, Jesus tells us what to do with our lives. And parts of it looks like the list that Jesus gives John. For in our baptismal covenant, we proclaim and we say that we will continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. We vow to persevere in resisting evil. And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. We are to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. We promise to seek and serve all persons, loving neighbor as ourselves. And we promise to strive for justice and peace among all people. And we promise to respect the dignity of every human being. We've said that, haven't we? Sisters and brothers, that is what it means to follow Jesus, to share in the life and work of the Messiah and make our actions clear. God gives us the grace and strength to live them out in our daily lives. And when we fail, we are given chance after chance to begin again.
Amen.
You see, it's not enough to talk the talk, but we must walk the walk. If someone asks you, "Are you a Christian?" Our answer shouldn't be yes or no, but look at me. What do you hear? What do you see? When people look at you, when people look at us as the Episcopal Church of All Saints in Ascension, do they know? Do they know that we strive to follow the Savior? Or will they look for another? Amen.
Amen. Amen.